It is God's mercy that we are able to gather together this afternoon. And it's a joy to see once again the faces of our brethren. Sometimes we just take it lightly to see one another, but during the 5 or 6 months or so that we have not seen each other, it is really something that will call us to pray and cry unto the Lord that we can again come and gather together to worship the Lord. In the few months of preaching here, seeing an empty hall, it is quite different to preach when you see faces, live faces, not just imaginary faces. I tried to imagine somewhere there, there is some, or at the back, there are people. And when you preach, you just try to think that they are there and smile with you or frown at you when you speak from God's word. But it is really a different feeling and a different kind of preaching when you see, and when we see each other, to encourage one another in the word of the Lord. The mercies of God. We have to remember always how God granted us mercy. There are many churches today that promotes grace. Grace revolution. Yes, it's true. We are thankful for God's grace. For it is by the grace of God that we have this faith to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by grace, because without God's grace, no one can come to God and to trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only by His grace that we are brought into the light and we are taken out of darkness to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only by His grace that we are renewed and the Spirit of God fills us, because He is the one who put this new heart, a new spirit in us. And it's only by His grace. It is not by our own merit. It is not by our own desire. But we have also to understand that it is by God's mercies that we are able to come to Him. For mercy is His withholding of the punishment that we deserve. He declared to Adam and Eve that when they disobey God by eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge and of good and evil, that He will condemn and cause death and will judge them, even to die the death that they deserve, for the wages of sin is death. But God is so merciful to withhold that punishment, that judgment immediately upon them. Yes, spiritually, they died. And eternally, they have to await for that second death, which is an eternal death in the lake of fire. But because of His mercies, He withhold that punishment, and we are still able to live even until today. For them, they receive the grace of God because of His mercy. And these are two sides in a coin, by which when God withhold that punishment, we also receive that grace which we do not deserve, that salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must not forget that mercy of God upon us. And here in this passage, we can see this giving of God, the mercy towards this man was made whole, and even to us who are here today. If God is not merciful and He judges us according to how we behave and how we sin against Him, you didn't have a preacher today. He will be the one to be the first to be struck with the lightning when God judges us because of our sins. We thank the Lord for His mercy. We thank the Lord for His grace. And here we have in this passage from John chapter 5, verses 1 to 15, a miracle that gives us a wonderful show or a giving of the healing of a man who was for 38 years was impotent or cannot even rise up and walk. Here we have a man who have been waiting for the healing and God's giving him a restoration of his physical infirmities. And it was met when the Lord Jesus Christ came to him. At the first part of this passage, we can see that God is showing mercy even to a people who were even hardened during that time. They were a people who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They were a people who did not acknowledge Him as the Messiah. They were a people who did not mind that there was this man sent from God, Himself God-man, who came into this world, lived with them, walked with them, talked to them, and granted them pardon and forgiveness of their sins. They were not aware of this man. Yet, God in His mercy gave them reminders, some form of commemoration to think of and to be able to remember that indeed God is still merciful and gracious. Here we have in verse 1 a mention of the feast of the Jews. We have to understand that the feast is one that is ordained by God even in the Old Testament. And there are three feasts where God ordained the men of the nation of Israel or the Jews to come and gather in the temple. This was the feast of the Passover, the Pentecost, or the feast of harvest, or feast of weeks, and the feast of tabernacles. And in these three feasts, they gathered together, and it shows how God wanted them to remember the time that they were brought out from Egypt. Because these feasts were actually a form of commemoration to remember them how God brought them out from that slavery, out of that bondage. The Passover, the day where they went out of Egypt. The Pentecost, the day or the time where God continued to bless them and provide for them, even in the wilderness. The Feast of the Tabernacles, the tents, were how God provided them a dwelling place, kept them even in the wilderness, that there be a place for them to be protected from the cold environment during the night and hot weather during the day. This was to cause them to recall and recount the goodness, the mercies of God upon them. Even today we have this. Coming together during the Lord's Day is a day where we can remember that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, resurrected on this day. And we have hope and we have the assurance of life eternal. That resurrection where we, though facing death, we know there is life after death. We know that we have a life ahead of us, that death is not the end of everything. And during the Lord's Day, we come together to worship this God who rose from the dead. And He promised when He ascended that He will come again. And when He comes again, He will rapture us and bring us into His place. This is a reminder for us. This is God's mercy. This is God's means of grace upon us. As we celebrate and also partake the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion, these are form of commemoration where we have to remember how God died, of course, or sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for us. He was buried, He rose again, and He ascended back to heaven, and He's coming again. It is through this acts of commemorating the good and the merciful and gracious acts of God upon us. And there are many things. The Bible, the Word of God, daily as we meditate upon it. When we pray, during our prayer meeting, as we come together, it provides us an avenue where we can come together as a body of Christ. And when we pray, we are reminded of God's goodness to that He opened the throne of grace, that He tore that veil and rent that curtain that divided the holy place to that most holy place wherein we can now access the very throne of God. Can we not say that this is a good reminder for us to understand of His mercy and His grace? Sometimes we take lightly these things. And during the pandemic, I believe all of us have understood the importance of these things. When things are taken away from us, it is the time that we miss these things. It is a time that we remember how good and how beneficial are these things to us. That is also true even during the funeral services, right? During vigil services. We seldom remember these people, but when we come to these services, we remember their goodness. How they, one day, or that situation they were with us, or how they smiled at us, how they helped us, how they talked to us, how they welcomed us. But they are not there anymore. And during those pandemic, we remember how good it is to gather together and how sweet it is to have a fellowship together. And after the gathering and having this worship service, we go out and have some chit-chat out there. Though we cannot yet do that this time, but we have that ray of light that few months from now we can have that. So it is of God's mercies that we are reminded of these things. And not only of feasts, we are also reminded here of some places. Take note of how John described that there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool. A sheep market. It was interesting that he mentioned this sheep market, which we may understand a sheep gate or a place by which they sold the animal sacrifices. They should have, when we read this, we can also remember how sacrifices of animals foreshadowed and foreordained the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. By these places, they should have, or the people should have reminded themselves of the mercies of God upon them. Especially on the name of that pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda. We hear of some churches here in Singapore named Bethesda. It is a good name. It is literally named a place of pouring out. Well, in the Hebrew tongue, it is the house of mercy. A house of mercy. Names reminds us of God's mercy. I pray when you hear of Calvary Tenga, you will hear also and you will feel and understand of God's mercy upon you. For me, I will always remember this church. Because the very first time I came into Singapore and testify of how I was called by God when I entered FEBC, it was right here in this church. God's mercy upon us. May places, churches, people's names, those who witness to us, those who cause us to hear God's word, these are reminders of God's mercy upon us. when I remember my pastor who shared to me the word of God, that I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ through him, through that witness, I always remember of God's mercy when I hear of his word or his name. I pray we will remember God's mercies also on names and places. And we have in this account a place where there was this miraculous healing. And it is described here that beside this pool, there were impotent folks, or blind, halt, withered. These were people with infirmities. Many of them cannot see, cannot walk, cannot even rise up. And they were waiting for the moving of the water. Now, here, there are commentators who will say, well, this is a superstitious belief of the people. And there are also others that believe there was really healing. It could be a natural way of some kind of minerals in that pool. We don't know. It is not described here. But the scripture says that there was indeed healing, because the words here in verse 4 says, "For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped into or in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had." So whosoever will step or stepped in was made whole. And there is no hint of a question whether it is a superstitious belief or whether it was just an imaginary healing. Well, I sided with Calvin's comments that this could be some of God's residue of giving the mercy of God upon his people. That although they were neglecting and denying the Lord Jesus Christ, they might be inflamed with a strong desire for Christ. That as the angel of the Lord, as they say here, it is an angel, they will be encouraged and have a greater reverence towards the angel of the Lord, the Messiah of God. So, Calvin says, the Lord retained among the Jews this gift of healing, that they might know that there was a good reason why God separated them from the other nations. A sign of God's mercy upon them. And there was a man there who had an infirmity 38 years. It is interesting, John described and gave us the number of years. And this is not just to give us a number. It has a purpose. And the point is for us to know that there was impossibility of healing. 38 years of not able to rise up and walk, there is always that atrophy. Atrophy of the bones or the muscles or whatever parts of the organs that he was not using. And this shows there was really a less probability of him to be healed, to recuperate, and to be restored. And what we can see in here, aside from God's commemoration, is God's condescension. The Lord Jesus Christ, knowing and seeing these people, could have just passed by. And, well, he can talk to the rabbis and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, for they were the people well known during those days. But here is the God-man who is concerned not of any physical appearance, not of what is the status of that person in the society, but he was merciful to those who are needing, merciful to those who are sick, merciful to those who are poor and deprived. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. Of course, Jesus knew how long he had been there. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. But we have here an interesting case by which of the many who were sick, impotent, hot, and withered, it was this man. We don't know why and what's the reason. But we are sure that he was just one of those who were sick and could not do anything to heal themselves. And the Lord Jesus Christ condescended, stooped down, looked, and called this person. A man who was rejected by many. Not even his family probably would be bothering him because there was no one to help him to go near the pool. That was his problem. He says here in verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he says unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Of course, Jesus, I want to be made whole. And this was a question to this man. And for this man, if he had known the Lord Jesus Christ, he could have asked him to heal him. But this is now a representative of Israel. A man who was a symbol of the ignorance and the blindness of Israel during that day, where he could not even see and identify the Messiah, the Son of God. They could have learned, and they have learned much from God's Word. They were given the oracles of God. In the Old Testament, they were provided with all the information about the Messiah. And here comes the Son of God in the very front of them, before them, in the midst of them. Yet now they were not able to identify him. They did not even receive him. They rejected him. And this man is a representative of all Israel. Seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, he did not acknowledge that he is the Son of God, the Messiah. He even told Jesus that, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." He was implying that, "Yes, I want to be healed. But can you help me? Bring me into the pool where there is this angel who will move the waters so that I can step on that pool and be healed." He did not acknowledge that this man whom he is facing and is talking is a man who has that power to heal him. He was hopeful that this man will help him carry into that water and be healed. And even today, Christianity is like that. There are many churches and many denominations and many groups of Christians who still believe that Jesus will be the one to bring us into the pool and the pool will heal us. It's not Jesus. That Jesus will be a guide and a teacher, one who will push us and one who is a great example and a model for us to live so that we can be saved. But he cannot save us. Jesus, who has the strength and the help to open the gate of heaven so that we can struggle and work ourselves to enter into that gate and be saved. There are still many today who is like this impotent man. They did not recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who can heal them, who can save them, who can deliver them out of their infirmities, even of the condemnation that they are facing. I pray our all in all is Christ. When we come before Him, we acknowledge that He is a merciful God, a gracious God, God who withholds the punishment upon us, that we who are worthy to be struck right now of the very lightning from heaven because of our sins, God withhold it. All because of the Lord Jesus Christ. All because of what He, as our God,
who is merciful and gracious through Him and His sacrifice on the cross and His perfect life on earth was the basis for withholding that punishment upon us. And God granted us that mercy so that we can have that grace also to believe and trust in Him. Wilt thou be made whole? Yes, I want. But can you push me? Can you bring me to the pool? I believe in the pool. It can make me whole. It can cleanse me. It can make me back into my old or my perfect health. It can restore me. Bring me there, Jesus. But we have here the answer of the Lord Jesus Christ to him. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Three commands. Rise. It is a middle voice wherein you have to rise and you have to be happy and joyful and encouraged to hear that word inviting you to rise. Don't doubt. Don't question. Don't think whether you can stand up. Believe in what the Word of God is saying. Rise and take up thy bed. Be active in doing that. Do it. And then walk. Continue on walking. It is not walking and then after that you sit down and be back to that old life that you have to sit down and wait for the pool. No, you have to keep on walking. It is a continuous command for you to walk in the Lord. And the man immediately was made whole. Immediately. Don't believe in these charlatans today. Benny Hinn and all these so-called healers who says, oh, you'll be healed. And then after that, after several weeks, you will be back because there's another session of healing. As if there is a, you know, regimen for you to take every week. You have to come in order to be healed. Don't believe in this kind of some false teachings today that, oh, if you will have your bread and cup and you will take it like daily, like a medicine or like a supplement, you will have healing and you will continue on doing it. God, when He heals, He says here, it was immediate. Immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed. Took up his bed. I don't know how he was able to realize he can now raise up and take his bed. And he walked. And on that same day was the Sabbath. Again, there is another negation here of the picture of the hearts and minds of the Jews. They were against the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not in agreement with what the Lord Jesus was doing. Here the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. Why are you doing this? It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. There are many of the churches and many Christians today who are more like policemen in the church. Like spies, like FBIs, who just want to watch and see and look and try to examine what is wrong, what is. And because of that, people are so conscious and so nervous when they come to the church because they're spied on. Like these Pharisees in the past. And of course, the man was honest to say, well, that man, it is interesting for this man to receive healing. He could have asked, if somebody will give you $1 million, would you say thank you and you will run away and go to what, Sentosa or what? I believe the first words that will come out of our mouth is to ask for His name. Who are you? Why did you give it to me? How good you are to me. I mean, I want to thank you and I want to be good to you and want to serve you and I want to do something for this goodness that you have done to me. But maybe he was just excited because he was able to rise up and walk, though he didn't mind to ask the name of Jesus, or the one who healed him. He just told the people or those Pharisees, probably these were the Pharisees, that, well, this was what that man who told me to take up or to rise up and to walk to take this bed up. And then I just followed what he told me. And he that was healed, he didn't know who Jesus was because the Lord Jesus conveyed himself away. You know, the Lord Jesus was not interested for his name or for him to be identified, to be made popular. Very different from our preachers and from these false teachers and false and fake healers today, where they want their name to be magnified and their name to be put up there as one who heals, one who is this powerful and one who has this power to heal and to touch bodies of sick people that they are healed. The Lord Jesus Christ knew this is the way of the heathen. This is the way of evil people. But then interestingly in verse 14, Jesus findeth him. It was not the man who looked and cried, who was that man who healed me? Can you tell me where is he? Can anyone find that man who told me to rise up and take up my bed and walk? I pray we are not like that. We have received so much mercy and grace of God, we don't even bother to give thanks to the Lord. We don't even bother to say, Lord, praise the Lord, praise your name for all these things. I am healed. Well, I can be out of this infirmity and hurrah, I can be back to my work. I can do my job. I can receive this salary. I can go for holidays. No holidays this time. But, you know, there are those who just enjoy the blessings and the mercy and the grace without even acknowledging this is all from God. We have to understand that whatever healing, whatever restoration in our physical health, these are all from God. Even those who are not acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, those heathen people, those who are from other parts of the world where they worship other gods, do you think that they were healed because of their gods? Do you think that they were restored because of their gods? Do you believe that they had those supplies and provisions because of their gods? No. It is by the Lord's mercy. Why? Because He wants them to understand that there is a God in heaven who keeps them, who provides for them. God's common grace to everyone, even those who are evil and wicked. God provides them materially, physically, because He wants them, by His goodness, to repent and acknowledge Him as their Lord and Savior. But we have here an acknowledgement of how good God is to His people. And what is that goodness? Here we have to understand God's mercy. Yes, it is manifested in some commemorative things like names and feasts like and other situations and conditions. And it was also by God's condescension by which the Lord Jesus Christ Himself came into this world. And here it is manifested and illustrated in how He stooped down and called the attention of this impotent man. But above all, we have to understand that God's mercy is His compassion, His pity upon us.
Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. This is God's mercy. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Grace Revolution would say, well, we don't have to repent. The Lord Jesus Christ has already paid all our sins, past, present, and future. So when you sin, you just thank God. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me. I sin. Thank you, Lord, for being there as my representative on the cross. You don't have to repent. You don't have to cry before God and be sorry of your sin. Anytime you make something of a transgression or anything that grieves God, don't worry. Jesus paid for it already. Wow. But the Lord Jesus Christ clearly told this man, thou art made whole. You are not just restored physically. You are not just given a perfect physical body, but you are spiritually restored also. And now, you have to keep yourself from sin. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. What is this command? Is this possible? We know it is hard. We know it is impossible for us to do. How can we sin no more? We who are by nature sinners. How can we keep ourselves from sinning? But we thank the Lord that He says here, sin no more. He was not commanding an impossible command. He was commanding a command that He can do for us. And we thank the Lord that this mercy of the Lord upon us to sin no more is given in how He opened the way for us, that if we sin and confess our sins before Him, He is just and faithful to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That when He cleanses us during that repentance, we're back to zero. And every time we sin, when we confess our sins and we come to Him, we are forgiven. And Jesus does not count, oh, this is now the fourth time, this is now the 50th time, this is now 1,000 times, this is now 1,000,000 times that you ask for forgiveness of that same kind of sin. But every time we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He is just and faithful to forgive us of our sins. Do we have sins that we have harbored in our hearts and in our minds, that we have not repented of it and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and sought for the forgiveness of these sins? Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. For if you continue on keeping this sin, loving this sin, embracing this sin, putting this sin into your heart, that hatred, that grudge, that envy, that jealousy, if you continue on this, a worse thing will come unto you. For that is not a heart of one who is regenerated in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not a heart indwelt by the Spirit of God. That is not a heart renewed and given that new spirit by God Himself. If we are truly regenerated, we are people convicted, and when we come to know that we have sinned, we bow our heads before Him. Lord, here am I. I know I have sinned again. Help me. Remove all this hatred,
grudge, envy, jealousy, greed, lust. Please help me to sin no more, lest the mercies upon me will end. And when the time will come, I still have that sin in my life, because I have not entrusted and repented this unto you, I will be found lacking before thee. And be not totally cleansed and not really made whole, because I kept some of my sins within me. The mercy of God, the mercies of God is so great that even until today, He's waiting for us to be again cleansed, forgiven, totally made whole, and then sin no more. And when we commit sin, Lord, I have done it again. Sin no more. Have you seen the great mercy of God upon us, withholding that punishment? He withholds. We're like a man who is now in that point where we are to be condemned and be executed because of our sins. And the sword is there, ready to cut off our head because we are worthy of it. But there is God's mercy withholding it. And when we utter and we say, Lord, I repent. Forgive me of my sins. I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will not just put His hand hanging over our head. He will put down that sword. And will grant us that grace to live for Him. I pray that we appreciate this grace of God upon us, and mercy of God upon us. His pity, His compassion, His patience, His long suffering to us, what? That not one of us will perish, but all of us will come to repentance, and we will be with Him forever in His kingdom. The mercy of God. Nevertheless, I think we cannot, I don't know if we have some churches with this, like, Mercy BP Church. I don't know if there is one. Well, Bethesda, there are Bethesda churches. Yes, there is grace. Great grace. Marvelous grace. Amazing grace. But there is also the great eternal mercies of God upon us, withholding that punishment, awaiting for us to come before Him. And when we come and be whole, made whole in Him, He says, sin no more. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. I pray the Lord will help us and will remind us of these mercies that He has given us. Let us pray.